God series that we've talked about. And in the past, we've talked about what it really means to listen to God, and we've also discussed how God can communicate with us through his creation. So that was the message in previous weeks, and if you missed that, it's not the end of the world. You can go and listen to it on the YouTube channel. But today, we will be talking about other voices and noise that make it difficult for us to hear God and to follow him. So guys, do you want to play the audio? This is my first time doing slides and a sermon at the same time, so please forgive me if there's any hiccups along the way. Okay. Yep, turn it up. Keep going. That's good. Okay. So as human beings, we constantly have to filter out noise. We hear things all the time, but we have to choose what we actually listen to. See, noise is the information that comes in, but it's not what we wanted to hear. If you can hear me right now, it's because you are making a dedicated effort to hear what I'm saying, right? Okay, you can pause it now. I was hoping to kind of give that as an illustration of, if you really are trying to hear me in that moment, it's because you're focusing on my voice, and because you're focusing on my voice, you're cutting out all the sights and sounds of India in the background. So let's head back to the slideshow. Okay. So when we listen to God, we need to do the same thing. We need to filter out the noise. But the question is, how do we filter out the noise? Here's the main points. Next slide, please. And after this. Yeah. The main point is that we need to sincerely desire God's voice if we are to hear him clearly. If we sincerely desire God's voice and we're focusing on it, when we hear it, we'll follow it regardless of how we or others are feeling about it. So this morning, we're going to look at two passages, and they are two stories about listening to God's voice, but they play out in different times and with different influences. They each highlight specific noises and voices that we must be aware of when we're trying to hear from God. So we go to the next slide. Our first passage is Genesis 3, verse 1 to 6. Give you all a second, and it's also on screen. So let's read together. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." Next slide. "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. So Genesis 3, verse 1 to 6 is the first example in the Bible of somebody ignoring God's voice. And the reason I like this story and I picked it for this morning is because it's clear who is who in the story. You have three main characters. Next slide. So the three main voices that are in this story, there's the voice of God that Eve has either heard directly from God or she has heard through her husband. There's the voice of Eve, who has heard God's voice, and now she has to decide whether or not she's actually going to listen. And then there's the voice of Satan and the serpent. So there are three main voices here. There's God, there's humans, and there's Satan. So the first source of noise that I want to highlight here is the voice of Satan. Go to the next slide. Yeah. And Satan's voice is very antagonistic towards God. That is like the hallmark identifier of hearing Satan's voice. He can't say anything true about God or that would lead you to him. He's always trying to pull you away from God. He causes doubt about God in this passage. He uses the phrase, did God really say, you know, when you're not sure about something, that's how you bring it up. Did they really do this or did they really say that? He causes doubt about God. Secondly, he denies God's word. He says, you won't die. He just lies completely about what God says. The third thing he does is that he appeals to Eve's desires to justify ignoring God's voice. When we're trying to listen to God, we can distinguish if we're listening to God or we're listening to Satan, because Satan's voice causes doubt about God. It denies God's commands, and it appeals to our desires to draw us away from God. So let's go to the next slide. The second source of noise in this passage is the noise of our hearts, the human heart. And in this story, it's actually Eve's heart because she's the main human in the story. But the heart is the place of personal desire. It's where your distinct decisions are made. You know, it's where you decide, oh, I'm going to put on red shoes today instead of blue shoes. And here, Eve's desires brought her into conflict with God's word. But just like Eve, we're all humans, just like Eve. Our desires are God-given. God has put whatever desires we have in us. And the desire for wisdom, the ability to appreciate the beauty of the fruits, and the desire for eternal life, those are all good things that God has placed in us. But these things stop being good when the enemy uses them to turn us away from God. These desires are supposed to bring us closer to him. You know, the tree of life was also there. God was also there. God would have given her wisdom. But now those desires were being used by the devil to pull her away. So verse 6 shows the noise of the human heart. The woman was convinced, it says. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give to her. She internalized what Satan had said and was now desiring what God had forbidden. So, main point, our desires are God-given, but they must be submitted to God. And this can be difficult because when you desire something, you're the one who's experiencing the desire. You're feeling it, all the emotions that come with it, whether you're happy about it or you're fearful about it, you're the one that's feeling it. So it's hard to be objective sometimes. But there's one simple way we can check our hearts. Can we go to the next slide? So the simple way to check your desires is to ask yourself, how is this desire bringing me closer to God? Or if it is not, how can I submit this desire to God so that it brings me closer to him? If Eve had done this, she may have caught herself and realized that, oh, all this stuff that Satan is promising, God, by his own process and in his own time, is already giving her those things, and perhaps she would not have fallen for the deception. Okay, next slide, please. So far, we've discussed two sources of noise, the voice of Satan and the noise of our hearts, our human hearts. Next slide. But for the third source of noise, it's a little more complex. So we're going to look at another story. And the story is found in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 to 40. And it's the story of King Ahab going to war at Ramoth-Gilead. And as we discuss the story and we read it as well, I want us to think about what is preventing people in that story from listening to God or doing what God has commanded them to do. Now, you may have noticed that this story is 40 verses, so we will not be going through the whole thing today, but I will try to summarize the earlier part of it, and then we'll read a portion of the Bible too. Here's the brief summary of what happened. So at this point in the story, Ahab is the king of Israel, and he's a bad king. There's no way around it. He's broken God's commandments by leading his people to worship idols, and he's killed his neighbor because he wanted his vineyard, even though he's a king and he can have whatever he wants. He's just like a bad guy. And these are only two big examples. He's done lots of other things that have declared him as a bad king. Recently, though, by God's help, he's experienced victory in battle against the Arameans. And the Arameans are an oppressive neighboring country, and there's been 3 years of peace in the land. Everybody's been relaxing. However, when Jehoshaphat is the king of nearby Judah and Israel, they're not always on good terms, but at this point in time, they were friendly to one another So King Jehoshaphat came to visit, and all of a sudden Ahab remembered, oh, there's this town that the Arameans took from us. You know what? We should go and get it back right now. And Jehoshaphat is like, okay, let's go. That's fine. This town is called Ramoth-Gilead. Jehoshaphat agrees to help him, and Jehoshaphat encourages him that they should inquire of the Lord. So Ahab calls 400 prophets, all who declare that they will definitely win. And when I think about it, I'm like, wow, he either, like, why would you need 400 prophets? But I don't know. He calls 400 prophets, all who declare that they will definitively win. And there's one guy in the crowd who, he knows that this is a show, so he even makes like some horns out of iron, and he's like, this is how violent your victory will be. With these horns, you will strike them, and you will be victorious. But Jehoshaphat is not satisfied with these 400 yes men. He wants to hear the voice of the Lord, and so he encourages Ahab to bring out a prophet of God, not just a prophet of God. Ahab is reluctant because this prophet never prophesies anything but trouble for him. I wonder why. But he agrees to it anyway. So the messenger is sent for the prophet. Micaiah is his name. And now we're going to pick up the story from verse 13. 1 Kings 22, verse 13. If you follow along with me. Next slide. Okay. Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success. But Micaiah replied, as surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say. When Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should we hold back? Micaiah replied sarcastically, yes, go up and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory. But the king replied sharply, how many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord? Then Micaiah told him, in a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, your master has been killed. Send them home in peace. Didn't I tell you, the king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat, he never prophesies anything but trouble for me. Then Micaiah continued, listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead so he can be killed? There were many suggestions, and finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. How will you do this? The Lord asked. The spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies. You will succeed, said the Lord. Go ahead and do it. So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So let's go to the next slide. The third source of noise that I wanted to identify here is the noise of other people. That is the noise of the crowd, of popular opinions, statistics, or people we hold in high regard. And I'm not saying that when we're trying to listen to God, that we shouldn't listen to other people. Obviously, God had sent a prophet to King Ahab. God was speaking through a person to King Ahab. So there are people that we will listen to when we're trying to hear from God. But what I'm trying to say is that we must let God's word supersede that of the crowd, or even those we hold in high regard. So hopefully this point will be made clearer as we look at the characters in the story. So the first character that I want us to look at is Jehoshaphat. Let's go to the next slide. See, Jehoshaphat is earnestly seeking God. He was not a perfect king, but he is recorded as doing good in God's eyes. And even though there are a myriad of voices, a literal crowd of people telling him that everything will be okay, he desires the voice of God. He does not weigh the 400 human voices as more than the voice of God. That's why he asks for a prophet of God. The next slide, please. The second character here is Ahab, who does not want anything to do with God, clearly. And Ahab is a bit of an interesting king. He has a complex relationship with God's prophets. God had sent, I think the most notable prophet maybe we may have heard of is Elijah. Him and Ahab really had some good times. But God had actually sent other unnamed prophets in the past to Ahab, either to proclaim victory for him or judgment. And some of them, he actually listened to them. But here, he's like, I don't need to listen to God. He thinks he knows what God is going to say before he even says it. He predicts it, and he's like, this man only prophesies trouble for me. I don't want to hear it. So I think the tendency when we read these stories is to try to be like the good people in the story, and that's good. But sometimes we need to see our mistakes in the people who are doing the wrong thing in the story. And Ahab, we are sometimes like Ahab, you know? We pray to God, but as we're praying or before we pray, we've already decided what God is going to say. Maybe we think he won't respond, so we're just like talking into the area, like, okay, God, I guess I'm supposed to talk to you now, but I don't think you're going to do anything, so here's his bye, right? And we must be careful not to let the noise of our hearts, that is, our desires and our emotions, the things that come with them, stop us from listening to God. When we pray, we should desire to hear back from God. We should know that he will respond. But back to Ahab. One pattern is clear about him, is that he never seeks the face of God for himself. It's either in another story, there's a prophet that has to like pull him over and say, hey, this is what the Lord is going to do. In this story, it's Jehoshaphat saying, we need to inquire of the Lord. Ahab is never the one seeking for God. It's always him, he's always seeking for other voices, seeking the voice of those who will draw him away from God. But a quick aside here, this is one encouraging thing for you, if you feel like you're Ahab in this story. Some of us think that God doesn't want to communicate with us, or maybe he's playing hard to get, that we need to do some sort of specific procedure for him to communicate with us. Or perhaps you might worry that what you have done in the past would not allow God to talk to you, that God has forsaken you. But God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to Ahab to warn him and to get him back on track. Despite Ahab's failures as king, God still desired him and wanted to use him for his glory. So if you're listening to this message today and you feel like God doesn't want you, God doesn't want to talk to you, know that God wants you. Know that God wants to use you. Know that he wants to hear you. Know that he wants to say good things into your life, and that you can choose to respond to him today. If at any point when a prophet came to Ahab, he was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to listen to what you said. Everything would have turned around. So we can make that decision today to follow God. Next slide, please. Okay, so the third character in this story is Micaiah. Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And he's an example of the kind of people we should surround ourselves with when we're trying to discern God's will. And there are three things that he does right here. The first thing is that he's willing to be held accountable. In verse 28, he says, if you return safely, it will mean that the Lord has not spoken through me. And then he added to those standing around, everyone, mark my words. We know that God's word doesn't return to him void. And if someone is claiming to speak on God's behalf, they should be held to the same standard, right? I think so. So if someone is speaking to you on God's behalf, they should be held accountable for what they're saying. The other thing Micaiah does right is that he goes with the Lord, not with the crowd or even the king's desire. I'm sure at that point, everybody knew that the king wants to go to war after he's roped in another king to it. And he's like preparing himself. This is like the final phase. And even the messenger that came to get Micaiah was saying, everyone else is doing it. You should do it too. But Micaiah replied, as surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say. So that's the second thing he does right, is that he goes with the Lord, not with the crowd. The third thing he does right is that his behavior does not contradict his message. This is a bit of like a different example, but in verse 24, there's Zedekiah. Remember how I said one of those prophets made horns to like say, oh, this is how violent your victory would be. That was Zedekiah. And after Micaiah finishes denouncing all these lying prophets, Zedekiah comes up to him and he just slaps him and insults him. And you can tell at that point, that's not godly behavior. That's not the behavior of somebody who is filled with God's spirit. See, the actions and the lifestyle of the person giving guidance to you should match up, right, with God's spirit. So Micaiah's behavior matches his message. Next slide, please. Okay. Yeah. So Micaiah is an example of a good prophet that we can learn from. When listening to others who are hearing from God or are speaking on God's behalf, that could be prophets, or the pastors, whoever is ministering to me, spiritual directors, spiritual parents, trusted friends, anyone who is like, I think God is telling you to do this, you should ask yourself these three questions. Does their lifestyle follow God? Does their actions match their message? And can they be held accountable to their word? If they prophesy over you, are these things actually coming to pass? And whether or not they happen, do they flee afterward? Are they like, oh, it didn't happen. You know, I can't pick up your calls anymore. Right? They're like, oh, it's something. I just say these things for us to be careful about. There are a lot of false prophets out there and people who would prey on people who are looking for a miracle. So we need to verify these people. And the third question you can ask yourself is, do they move with whatever new trend comes up? Are they just following whatever topic is hot right now in the mainstream church? These are three questions we can ask about the people that we are hearing from if they are speaking for God. All right, next slide. So how's everybody doing? Are we all still present? Thank God. So let's review. There are three types of noise that can make it difficult for us to hear God. Next slide, please. It's the voice of Satan. Next slide. And the voice of Satan is identified by how it causes us to doubt God, how it denies and contradicts his commands, and how it appeals to our desires to move us from God. Next slide. We combat this by knowing God's voice, by studying and understanding the Bible. That's how we can discern between the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of God. Next slide. The second noise is the noise of our heart, the noise of our own desires. And we filter this out by submitting our will to God. God has a plan for each and every one of your desires. That's why he gave them to you. And his words contain promises that he will keep concerning those desires. And the best thing you can do for this too is just to fill yourself up with scripture that reminds us of those promises. Verses like Psalm 37 verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. That one covers all the desires. Or submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee. That's James 4 verse 7. So that's the second noise and how to filter it. Next slide. The third noise is the noise of others. That is the voice of the crowd, the opinions of others, maybe social media people, whatever it is. And we filter this by asking if the words and the lifestyle of the people that we are hearing from match. And we filter this by not letting numbers and status of people affect what God has spoken to us. When God has spoken to us, we should be confident in it. Amen? All right, next slide. So I've presented the noises in that order, you know, the voice of Satan, the noise of our own hearts, and the noise of others in that order for a specific reason. And it's because they build on one another. Satan tempts individuals. Individuals convince themselves when they are led by their desires. They're like, oh, I guess this must be the way to get what I want. Eventually, when enough people are deceived, they come together, they're like, oh yes, this is the way to do this thing. And eventually a crowd has formed. And now they're just pulling people in. People who didn't even weren't thinking about it. Now they're like, oh, this is what everybody is doing. They follow along. So they build upon each other. But, next slide, please. If we choose to sincerely seek God's voice, not only will he answer us, his voice cuts through the noise. His is the foundation that will help us filter out the rest of the noise. Just like you were able to hear me when you focus on my voice, despite all of the noise that was in the background, focusing on God's voice will help us to ignore the noise. Focusing on God's voice will help us to ignore the noise. When we choose to sincerely seek God's voice, we can become aware of our desires and when they are being warped by Satan to lead us astray. We become aware of how the crowd and the status of the people influence us, and then we can choose to follow God's voice instead of being moved by the crowd or moved by our own desires or the voice of Satan. Okay, thank you for listening. Let's pray. Let's just pray individually for the first little bit. and think about what you've been trying to hear from God about. Maybe you've been asking God about something new in your life. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new purchase. Or maybe it's what school your kids should go to. All these different questions. And ask yourself, am I sincerely seeking God? And as you are sincerely seeking God's voice now, ask God to submit your desires to God, actually. Not ask God, submit your desires to Him. Realize that He's in control, that He has given you those desires for a purpose. And just submit those desires to God. The underlying reasons why you're asking these questions, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? Realize that God has a plan for it and that He's leading you specifically. Ask God to make His will clear to you, whether through His word or through others who He has verified before you. Ask God to make His will known to you. Pray that you just make your will known in our hearts for whatever may be pressing in on us. Whatever we may be questioning about, we may be unsure about, Lord, we commit it into your hands today and we ask that you make the path straight, you make it clear for us. God, because if you said that if we seek you, you fulfill the desires of our heart. We put our trust in you, I submit to you, I submit this message to you, I submit these people to you, that we are in your hands, and we give you all the adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name, we prayed. In Jesus' name, dear God, we just say thank you for this time today, to hear your word, to hear your voice, and for it to cut through the noise of life. It can be so hard for us sometimes to hear what you're saying. We say thank you, God, for reminding us that we need that sincere desire to hear from you. And God, we just say thank you. Thank you that your voice is loud enough, it is clear enough, it is bold enough, that it cuts through the things of this life, the things that would hinder it from hitting our heart. We say thank you, Lord, that you know our desires. Thank you, Lord, for giving us those desires. Thank you, God, that those desires bring us back to you. We pray, oh God, that our desires would always lead us back to you in Jesus' name. And God, we just say thank you for the people that you've put in our life. Thank you, God, that you've never left us without counsel. We say thank you for our brothers and the sisters in the church here and for the pastors and the people that serve us in leadership positions. Thank you, God, that we can trust them, we can listen to them, and we can pour out our hearts to them. God, we just pray that you'd use us to lead one another. You'd help us to sincerely seek you and to seek your will for those who are coming to us for help in Jesus' name. We say thank you, Lord, because you are close to us. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is out of your hand, nothing is out of your power. We commit whatever it is that we may be desiring today into your hands, and we decide to seek you first in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for all the members who are here today, all the people who are listening online, all people under the sound of my voice right now. I just pray that you would bless them, you continue to reveal yourself to them, and that, God, they would know that you are real and that you love them. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Wow. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. More anointing. Let's give the Lord a hand. We thank God that God is using one of us to bless us. It is my prayer that even as much has been revealed through the Holy Spirit to us, through Him, that we'll be able to make use of